I'd just like to go back a couple of steps beyond the point to where we finished last time. The rishis, the holy men, Krishna, Dhritarashtra, and all the elders had said the same thing. It's in your interests for peace, and it's for the interests of the nation. Being criticized on all sides became too much for him. He got up and denied that it was his fault. It was entirely the Pandavas' fault. It was their decision to go for the dicing. It was their decisions. He'd actually let them have the land back again. It was their decision, and they'd lost. And he finished off saying that, whilst I'm alive, the Pandavas will never get any part of the kingdom from my father. My father made the mistake of giving them, either out of fear or bad judgment, half the kingdom. And he said that they will not get even the land to be found under the point of a needle. Then Krishna got up, rolling his eyes, and he said, "Huh, you think you have not robbed the Pandavas?" And he addressed all the other kings there. He said, "You kings, you haven't heard anything of this." And he went right through all the evil things that Duryodhana and his brothers had done to the Pandavas. Right from the beginning, when they were brought as children, and they tried to poison Bhima, and they tried to kill him in the house of Lak, and then all the disrobing and insults to Draupadi and all of them, and the pinching of the kingdom by the crooked dicing. And Krishna pointed out that he was completely at odds with everyone at the meeting, including his father, and later on we'll hear his mother, Bhishma, Vidura, and so on. And Krishna came out with the famous words that to save a family in dire straits and problems and so on, one would have to sacrifice a person. And to save a town, one may have to sacrifice a family. And to save a country, one may have to sacrifice a town. What he was saying was, in actual fact, get rid of Duryodhana to save the nation. It was then that it became too much for Duryodhana, and he stalked out with his brothers, and of course Karna, Shakuni, and Dushasana. Then Krishna turned to the elders and turned to them all there and said, "You know, it's your fault. You should have arrested Duryodhana and put him in prison. He should have been arrested a long time ago." It was then that Dhritarashtra got up and he said, "Bring Gandhari. Gandhari's wise, his wife Gandhari, and she'll see if she can persuade her son." And so Gandhari was called in, and Vidura was sent to bring back Duryodhana. And surprisingly, he did come back with his entourage. And Gandhari explained that half the kingdom had actually been given to the Pandavas out of fear of the family, out of fear of the breakup of the family. And also they'd received, now that Duryodhana and his armies had received the land that had been completely cleared of rivals. If you remember, the Rajasuriya was in fact a way of conquest and subjugation of all the lands that might have caused problems to the Kurus. So he was able to enjoy all the land that had been put in a prime state of wealth by the Pandavas. And the other point that she raised, quite interestingly, she says, "What do you think, the Pandavas having been within the family, do you think that Bhishma and Kripa and Drona are going to fight to their full extent? They will fight under their obligation to do so, but they will certainly not fight to their full capacity." And at this again, Duryodhana turned on his heels, walked out with the other four and with his brothers. But Satyaki, Krishna's friend and the cousin to Arjuna, had been watching closely, and he picked up pretty cleverly by the gesticulations and the way they were talking and their hand signals and things that there was a problem here, and it was likely that they were going to capture or do some harm to Krishna. So he immediately went outside with Kritavarman, the other commander, and gave orders for all the horses to be yoked up, everyone to go into full armour and battle formation around the entrance to the hall. And when he came back, he told Krishna, and then he told Vidura of what had happened. In fact, Duryodhana was planning to capture Krishna. Well, you can imagine the balloon went up at that. He had Dhritarashtra, and you had Vidura saying what a vile, sinful person he was, and all sorts of things of that nature. And Krishna said, "Well, if he wants to do that, fine. I will have him bound up and have him handed over to Yudhishthira, and our problems will be over." But he did say that I will never do a thing like this that would in any way be contrary to the affection that I have both for the Pandavas and for yourselves. Anything I do will not affect you in any way like that. But Duryodhana thinks I'm on my own. But in fact, I have with me all my troops, all the Vrisnis and Bojars and so forth. And as Duryodhana returned, Krishna, in a loud laugh, could be seen, his body could be seen increasing in size, and out of his body came all 30 of the cosmic gods, the deities. They were about thumb-sized, and they were glowing. They had a sort of greenish glow about them. And on his forehead could be seen Brahma, and on his right arm was Arjuna holding his bow, Gandhava, and on his left arm was Balarama holding his weapon, the plowshare. And on his chest was the deity Rudra, and from his mouth could be seen the fiery god of fire, Agni. And from out of his ears and his nose and his eyes were flames and smoke. And from the front, out of the front came the combined armies of the Srinjayas, the Vrisnis, and leading them all was his elder son, Pradyumna. And all of them had their weapons raised in a position ready for fighting. And from his back came Yudhishthira, and with him Bhima, and the twins, Nakula, Sahadeva. And from the heavens could be heard the thumping of the drums of the gods. Flowers were poured down on him, and there were flashes of lightning around him too. And from out of the pores of his skin, light shone out. It's rather like the sunlight shining out of the pores of his skin. And when the king saw this, they just couldn't face it. They had to screw up their eyes. They didn't see anything of this at all whatsoever. But the only ones who did see this universal form, this Bhishma Rupa, was Bhishma, Drona, Vidura, and Sanjaya. And shortly afterwards, having seen this miraculous form, Krishna returned to his normal state. And he took the hands of Vidura, and he took the hands of Shataki, and walked straight past the kings out into the entrance of the hall, and there Daruka, his charioteer, was waiting for him. The kings crowded him, but he took no notice, and he moved off actually to see Kunti before he left. And there was quite a long dialogue, but he really wanted to say to her, "Have you any message to take back to your sons?" And Kunti went into one of these long stories. You know, this tended to happen inside the hall, particularly when the holy men, when the rishis wanted to say there should be peace, what have you. They all came out with these pretty long stories as a parable of what happens if you didn't make peace in these sort of circumstances. Well, she did the same sort of thing, funnily enough, but she was absolutely for them fighting, no question about it whatsoever. So eventually he took leave of her, and as he came out, he asked to see Karna, and he asked if Karna would follow him, and he invited, he said to Karna, "I'll meet you at the south gate of the city." And at the south gate of the city, Satyaki, who was in the chariot with him, left the chariot so that he could talk quietly with Karna, just the two of them. In fact, it was a very affable, friendly meeting. And what Krishna said to him, "You know, you are the first son of Kunti. You were born out of wedlock to the sun god. And if you actually come back to the Pandavas, they will make you king. Yudhishthira will stand down." And he said, "I myself will anoint you. And in the chariot that takes you for the anointing of the king will be Yudhishthira holding the umbrella over your head. And there'll be Bhima with the tail fly swat. And the other brothers will be following you. And you will also become the sixth husband of Draupadi." But Karna, really in quite a sort of sweet way, he had a great empathy with Krishna. He said, "I can't do this." He said, "I take you speaking to me as a friend, the way you've made this offer to me. But I'm duty-bound to Duryodhana. He's actually given me everything that I had. I was born a Suta, I was born a lower caste, and he raised me up and has given everything. I have a duty to him, and I know what's going to happen. I know this war is going to be lost. I will be killed. We will all be killed in this war. But I cannot change that, and I have to stick to the honour and duty which I swore to Duryodhana. Krishna could see that his mind was made up. So he said to Karna, he said, the rainy season is over, the harvest is in and there's plenty of fodder, the mosquitoes have gone, so we will fight in 7 days. They embraced, Karna went back to his chariot, and Daruka with Satyaki and Krishna moved off on their return journey to the Pandavas at Upper Blavia. Well, if you have been, thanks very much for listening.